Good morning. Okay, Preston asked, he goes, you need anything? I said, oh yeah, I'm not Carl. So I didn't memorize. I got notes, and you'll be thankful I have notes, because if I don't have notes, then it might go on for a couple hours. So hopefully, I'm going to dovetail off a little bit of what Carl spoke about last week, and I won't go into detail, but we talked after the message a little bit last week when we was talking about the, if you remember, the tax collector and the Pharisee, and that was the message last week, and we was talking about, Carl talked about how we should have the tax collector attitude when we approach God. But yet, he mentioned too, and if you look at scripture, it says that we can come boldly to the throne of God, right? So is that a contradiction? And it was interesting because if you read, we can come boldly to the throne of God because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. So by all means, we can have that tax collector attitude and still approach the throne of God boldly. This morning, we're going to continue with the prayer. And Melissa, I appreciate you sharing. And I'll be praying for you, along with their family. When God lays something on your heart, and you can't sleep, or whatever the reason, if somebody is laid on your heart, take the time and pray. We can move the hand of God. And he wants us to come. He knows that, he knew that need, but he wants us to come to him. So this morning, we're going to go to the model prayer. Let's pray before we read God's word. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you so much for being our God. Lord, we thank you for loving us, for choosing us. Lord, for giving us your Holy Spirit, Lord, to dwell in us. Lord, we come to you this morning. We ask that you would bless your word as we read. May it enter our minds. May it renew our minds. May it enter our heart. May we keep it. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters abroad, Lord, that don't have your word and they have to go on what they've memorized, or maybe just one page out of your word that they share because of persecution. Lord, we ask for their protection. We ask that you would just guide and direct them and keep them safe. And may your word continue to spread through those that don't know you, Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, we pray these things and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the Pharisees. Okay, green light. So the Pharisees, they get such a bad rap, don't they? I mean, if you read the Pharisees, but yet they were the most revered on the street corners, right? They were the people that people looked up to because they were the religious leaders of the time. But somewhere along the way, and I'm not saying all of them, they lost their way. They became worshipers, really, of themselves. They wanted the admiration of all those that walked by them, all those that seen them. They wouldn't want to be touched by him, but they'd want people to look at him and say, wow, I wish I was like him. So right before Jesus leads into how to pray, he talks to him about the charitable deeds, not letting your right hand know what your left hand's doing, and how the Pharisees would announce whatever they were given. So then he goes in and he teaches the disciples. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Something interesting. I remember an older Christian, very saintly man. He had a closet in his house that he dedicated it to his prayer room. He called it his prayer closet. And I asked him how big it was, because I'm a little claustrophobic, because I was just curious. I was just like, but he would go in, and he had a little light in there, so he'd have a prayer list, and he would go in, and he goes, you know, Tim, he goes, it says that you can have a room or a closet, and in this case, you know, back then, houses weren't multi-level, big houses, big rooms. I think what Jesus is saying, just find a quiet place that you can go and have some one-on-one. But I remember LB telling me, he said, you know what, Tim? He said, I can concentrate. And he said, I've had some of the best times alone with the Lord in my prayer closet. And that always struck me. I was like, you know what? I need to take more time to get away to just a quiet place to have one-on-one time with my Lord. And I think Jesus here is saying, you know what? It's okay to pray in church. We pray in church, right? I mean, we pray. When Jesus took the bread, he broke the bread and he blessed it. It's okay to do that. And in fact, there's been prayers. The tax collector, what did he? It wasn't a long prayer, was it? He beat his breast and he said, forgive me, I'm a sinner. How about Peter's prayer when he started to sink? Lord, save me. One of the shortest prayers in the Bible. He didn't have time to say, O Father who art in heaven. He was sinking. He needed the Lord desperately. So he called out. In this example, Jesus is really wanting us to take the time not to pray so that man can hear, not so that you can impress others, but to actually talk to our Heavenly Father. Jesus said that when you pray and others hear, shouting on the corner or loud in the synagogues, they have their reward. And I thought about this, and I thought, you know, there's a slide later on. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and go. How many times do we pass up rewards that God wanted to give us for rewards of men? And often, and then I got thinking, I mean, you take this train of thought. How often do we sacrifice an eternal life in heaven for what man has to offer here on earth? That deal, isn't that crazy to think that people want to have what's here compared to what's in the future? And I'll go as far as to say, you know what? Since I've known the Lord, I've been so much happier than what I was when I didn't know the Lord. I'm not saying it's perfect, because it's not. There's problems. But I can go to the Lord. He knows what I have need of, and I can pray. It's amazing. It's amazing what mankind will go through to get mankind's rewards or mankind's adoration compared to having a life with the Lord. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Still goes on today, by the way. Monasteries, some monks, they chant and chant and chant and chant. And before I even looked it up, I was like, you know what? That sounds so familiar. And I'd go back to the book of Kings, 1 Kings, and Ahab, Obadiah was there, and Obadiah loved the Lord. And Elijah was coming, and I remember Obadiah saying, oh my goodness, you want me to tell Ahab that you're here? Because he really didn't want to tell him. But they go through, and he says, you know what? Israel, you've turned your back on me. He goes, you're practicing in the worship of Baal. You have 450 priests, and we're going to set up and have two bulls. You guys choose a bull. I'll take the other one. Elijah's speaking. He says, we'll prepare him, and the time of sacrifice comes. We'll see whose sacrifice, which God is God. And so they took the bull which was given to them, and they prepared it. And they called on the name of Baal, morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. They kept hollering out for Baal. Didn't matter. And that was their God, little g. And they called and called and called. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them, which I had to put this in. I know this is, but I just love this part because Elijah is so confident in God that he knows what's going to happen. He does. He's like, I got this. This is a slam dunk. And so he makes fun of him. He says, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is meditating, or maybe he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. He is really rubbing it in now because he knows. And by the way, he's not rubbing it in because he just wants to rub it in because he knows he's right. He's rubbing it in because he wants Israel to return to God. That's the whole point. He wants Israel to return to God. They've fallen away, and they're falling in the way of these worshipers of Baal. So now he says, so they cried aloud, cut themselves, as were their custom, with knives, lances, until blood gushed out of them. Now here you have it. It's not enough chanting now. Now they need to cut themselves so that they have blood coming out. They're still chanting. They're going through. It says, and when midday was passed, they prophesied until the time of the offering of evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid any attention. I am so thankful that we have a God that I can go to anytime. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I don't have to chant. I don't have to shout. I don't have to cut myself. I don't have to do anything. Think about this. This is a God, little g. We have God, big G. We have the Creator. At a time, there was nothing except God. There was darkness, and he took and formed the earth. He created everything. He knows everything. He's all powerful. Think about that. And we belong to him. If you know Jesus Christ, you belong to the all-powerful God. And he is attentive to every need that you have. And here you have these guys, 450 of them. And by the way, if you go on and read, and I didn't put all the text up here, eventually, Elijah took and asked for him to pour water on the meat, the wood, dug a trench, not once, not twice. He said, fill it up again, poured all that water, and then he called out to God. What happened? Said it burned up even the 12 stones that he put for the altar, burned it up, lapped up all the water. That's our God. That is our God. I told you I needed notes. One other point I want to bring up too, and this is awesome because I've heard it so many times too. We don't have to bargain with God. We don't have to say, hey, God, if you just give me the winning lottery tickets, I can retire and then I can spend more time with you. We don't have to bargain. We don't need to bargain. By the way, don't pray for lottery winnings. I think that's... I don't have to say, Lord, if you just do this one thing for me, I'll do this. Because you know what? God knows what's best for us. And a lot of times we pray for things that, and by the way, that's not a bad thing to say, I'll do something for God, because it says that we offer our body a living sacrifice, right? So we're to do that anyway. Jesus goes on. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Isn't that awesome? Just think about that. We was talking a couple weeks ago in small group. And I think it was Brenda, I'm not sure, that brought up that, you know what, sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. And that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And how often is that? There's been so many times that I've prayed and I said, Lord, you know what? I don't even know what to pray. I just need you. But we have somebody that makes intercession for us. We have the Holy Spirit that can do this for us, and that God knows what's best for us. I know we've talked in my Sunday school class before. I taught for, and I said, my grandma, she prayed for many years and for my grandpa to be saved. And as time went on, he come to know the Lord, and it was awesome. He ended up getting cancer. They gave him like 6 months to live. He lived for 5.5 years going to church every day. He was a Marine in World War II and a hard man. I called him Grumpy Gramps when I was growing up because he was pretty grumpy. He loved me. I loved him. But boy, he was a hard man too. I mean, you can imagine World War II Marine. He wouldn't talk a whole lot about a war except for sometimes they would have to go back for their dead. They would leave nobody behind, and they might lose another two going back to get maybe bodies. And he was just a hard man. And I seen such a change when he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He turned into a, I won't say a gushy man, but he turned into a man that you could tell just by talking to him that Jesus Christ made a complete change in his life. He loved the Lord, and I'm looking forward to seeing him when I go home. But I remember my grandma praying, and she said, you know, she said, Tim, she said, I wanted him to come to the Lord many years before that. But it took something, and only God knows sometimes what it takes to bring somebody to the Lord. Sometimes we pray and we don't have any idea what we need. And sometimes God's answer to our prayer is either to wait. Sometimes it's no. How many of you like getting no for an answer? Sometimes I do. Yeah, he's like, yeah. But we should have that attitude. I'm going to go ahead and roll with that, by the way. Sometimes we should have that attitude because no, we can't see. We can't see down the future. We don't know a lot of times what we're asking for. God knows what we need, not what we want, what we need. Heidi and I, we was in desperate need of a car. This was years back. The kids were just, they were small. And our car broke down. We didn't have a lot of money. We needed two vehicles so that we could both get to our jobs. And I remember praying and asking the church to pray. And, you know, I said, Lord, just so it's reliable. Because my wife's going to drive it. I want her to be safe driving. And the Lord knew we needed a vehicle so she could get to work. And I remember going over to London. We was looking and looking and looking. And we just pulled in and there was this Dodge Intrepid, and we said, you know what, let's look at that. And we got it, and I just remember It was like $2,000 under Blue Book. And this was at a dealership, by the way, which that's unheard of. And they went ahead and took some more money off. We got that car so inexpensively. And there was only 12,000 miles on it. An older couple had had it, and it was garaged the whole time. It was in immaculate shape. And I thought, you know, and so we bought, long story short, we bought the car. And it's like, Lord, you know what we needed? But yet you blessed us with more than what we needed. We got what we needed, but yet isn't that God a lot of times? I'm thinking, you know, old times I would have been thinking Ford Pinto or something like that, whatever was available that was cheap. But yet God blesses and he knows what we have need of. I think that a lot of times we sell God short by saying, I know what I need, Lord. I'm in control. I can see what I need. Instead of taking the time and saying, Lord, I pray for your will. I pray for what's best for us. I pray for what's best for me. Jesus in Luke 11, he says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Sometimes stones can look like loaves of bread, right? You see them dirty, you know, the old loaves of bread, they were kind of, you could see that. And now I was looking and I was reading in one of the commentaries and they said, more than likely the serpent that they're talking about was probably an eel. And some fish look like eels and some of the fish that look like eels were probably edible. And then it talked about, and I was like, okay, the scorpion thing I'm not getting. But I guess there's a big white scorpion and when they curl up, they'll actually look like an egg. But even the fathers here, the earthly fathers, know the difference, and they're not going to give their children something that's not good for them. And it goes through, and he says, you know what? If you being fathers, earthly fathers, know how to give your children good gifts, think about God Almighty, what he gives to us. And by the way, if you look here, after Acts, the Father gave the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You're a child of God. And it's awesome that you can come to your Heavenly Father and ask, and he provides. Okay, my phone. Okay. I think I have one. Yes. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, and this is where I jumped ahead earlier, has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Very important, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Then it all rolled back. I'm pacing like Carl, so sorry, I can't stand still when I'm talking. But this rolls back to the tax collector attitude, right? Can you have the tax collector attitude and come boldly to the throne of grace? Why can we come boldly to the throne of grace? Because we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, Son of God, that is there because he's faced every temptation mankind could ever face throughout history. He faced and yet was without sin, never sinned. But he can sympathize because why? Because he faces the temptations that we face. And I can come boldly to the throne because of Jesus Christ and what he did for me. See, because on my own power, I can never approach the throne of grace without Jesus Christ. You're able to come boldly because I have an advocate. I have Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus then teaches his disciples, and I know that we call this the Lord's Prayer, and it's really a disciples' prayer, right? It's a model prayer, and we talked about this, I think, a little bit in our small group, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with praying just the Lord's Prayer. This is God's word. There is nothing wrong. But it's not just that you pray this prayer. It says, in this manner, therefore pray. In other words, this is an example of how to pray. Again, I already mentioned some of the short prayers, and I've done it driving before. Lord, you know, I've seen an accident. I'm like, Lord, please help them that are injured, and hopefully there's no fatalities. And you just, I don't know. I get used to praying. I talk to my wife often. Well, my wife talks to me often. I listen a lot. I do talk some, but she talks a lot, which I'm thankful. So, and speaking of which, when you think about relationship, you know, we're the bride. You need time alone with your spouse, right? Sometimes you need time alone, away from the kids, the hectic times, the schools, the activities, to have one-on-one talking time. We need the same thing with God. We need that one-on-one time, take alone time. Anyway, getting back to this. So in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me stop right there. So in this model prayer, if you notice, we start out, this has to deal with our Heavenly Father. Not involving us yet, right? It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Set apart is your name. When you start a prayer, recognize, acknowledge who you're talking to. There's no one else. When you talk to God, realize he's the creator. Realize, I'm telling you, I'm getting excited. I won't jump or shout or anything, but I might shout. But think about this. He is the creator, all-powerful God. And he loves you. And he wants to hear from you. Can you imagine? Try to walk up to, oh, I don't know. I don't follow basketball that much, but LeBron James, I do know who he is, and say, hey, let's hang out together this afternoon. How about going to get lunch? You really think? I mean, I can't speak for LeBron, obviously, but maybe he would say, yeah, that's cool, Preston, let's go. But I doubt it, okay? Pick somebody else famous and say, you know what? I want to spend time with you. Most of them, not so much. But yet you have somebody that created everything, sustains everything, by the way, and has a kingdom and a place prepared for you that wants to spend time with you. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't think you can get excited when you really stop and think. And that's where I think it goes back to you know, not vain repetition, not the same prayer all the time. Take the time because it's a personal relationship between you and God. That's what the Pharisees was missing the whole time. The Pharisees wanted the reaction from man instead of from God. It's a vertical relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. Think about that. So when you pray, acknowledge who he is. There's no name that's more powerful than the name of Jesus. So when you're praying, acknowledge who he is. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've heard, yeah. Well, Lord, if it's your will, we'll go with it. Almost like you're resigned to say, okay, well, it's your will, Lord. We should be happy because whose will is perfect? Tim's will or God's will? So if I'm saying it's your will, Lord, I want your will to be done, then I should be happy about it. Because does God want what's best for you? Does God want what's best for you? Listen, sometimes I think I know what's best for me, and it's not what's best for me. I've been through that. God wants what's best for you, for his children. That's why it goes back to what earthly father would give their children a scorpion if they asked for an egg. They know better. God knows even better than that. So when I stop and I pray, I said, you know what? Your kingdom come, your will be done. All through the Bible, there's promises. There's promises of what God is going to do. Praise the Lord, there's coming a day. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for the church. Is that a praise? Absolutely. You know what? Getting chill bumps. Guess what? There's coming a day when there'll be no more pain, no more persecution, no more saints being put to death. I've read the end. We're on the winning side if you belong to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. Pray for your kingdom come. His kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If we could only have, and this, by the way, is very important too, pray for our leaders in this country. It says, pray for the kings that we may live peacefully. And that's because a lot of governments, Christians, are persecuted. I am so thankful in this country that we can gather together this morning. We didn't have to dodge. We didn't have to meet in secret. We can meet openly this morning to worship our God. As a group, as a family. And I'm so thankful for that. So the first part of these verses deal with God. Then it switches to us. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Some manuscripts you might not have. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm using the New King James this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. I like to look a little bit farther out than just today. How many else? I think most, right? I'd rather not just think about today. I want to think about, got enough for this month to make all the payments and maybe put some in savings, and I'm looking forward to retirement because retirement's, it's hard to believe. I'm already up, getting up that age. So give us this day our daily bread. I think, Lord, I don't want to just think about today. I want to think about the future. And is it wrong to plan for the future? No, it's not wrong to plan for the future. But in James, it says that if the Lord wills, we shall live to do this or to do that. Always remember, we have no promise of tomorrow. God is in charge. We don't know when it's our time to go meet him. I think this serves us also to remember that we need to rely on God daily. Right? Daily. We have no promise. He sustains us. He keeps us going. We don't know when our time is. So daily, we need to ask the Lord for his provisions, for his help. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven of my sins, and I know when I take my last breath here on earth that I'll be in the presence of God. But I still sin. I going through the book of Galatians, I told Carl, I said, that was such a help for me. It was such a, I don't know. Just Carl is one of the best preachers, teachers I've had the privilege to sit under, and I appreciate how he went through that. You know, it really boils down to God and his forgiveness. And I was in a church for a little while, and he had to walk on eggshells because he was taught if you died with an unconfessed sin that you were going to hell. And that's by the way, that's not true. But it does say in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he is talking to believers in 1 John. And when he's talking to believers, he's not saying so that you can get to heaven. He's talking about the relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. You know what? If I do something and might make Heidi upset or mad, not that that would ever happen with me, but you guys all got that, right? Okay, Martha's laughing. Yes, she would tell you otherwise, and yes, I do make her mad sometimes. But I need to make amends, right? I need to ask for forgiveness because sometimes I can. I can just be stupid sometimes, and I do stuff, and I might hurt her feelings. And to make that relationship, does she forgive me? Yes, she forgives me, but I need to go, and I need to ask for her forgiveness. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father, we need to ask for forgiveness. I know I need to ask for forgiveness daily. Because, man, I do some stupid stuff sometimes, and I get caught up, and sometimes it's things that I really should do that I don't. Romans 7, like Paul, when he wrote Romans 7, I so, like, get into Romans 7 because I'm like, man, that's me. And I'm telling you, that's part of the reason that I am so looking forward to heaven is because I won't war with my flesh anymore. Because the things that I want to do, those are the things I don't do, and the things that I ought to do, I don't do. That's that war that goes on. And that's why when Carl was going through Galatians and we were talking about a new creature, and we are a new creature, but we still have this old flesh that keeps warring. We need forgiveness for our debts. Man, I got to speed up. So, somebody set the clock. Dang on it. I thought I was going to be okay. All right. So, as we forgive our debtors, this is important because even after these, and we get to the other ones, we're going to talk about this whole relationship with God, and we need forgiveness, and we need to make a relationship right, not dealing with salvation. But later on, he brings it up again about how we should forgive one another. Nope, I did skip ahead. Forgiving. Ephesians 4:32. Talks that because we've been forgiven, we need to forgive others. Easy? Sometimes. Sometimes it's easy to forgive others. And other times, it's not. It's very, very hard. People that hurt me, it seems like it's easier for me to forgive. People that hurt my wife, my kids, my grandchildren, I struggle and I need the Lord's help. By the way, does the Lord know that you need to forgive? Absolutely, it's in His Word, right? It's His will that we forgive others. So if you're struggling with how to forgive somebody, go to the Lord in prayer. I've had to do it so many times in my life. I've had to say, Lord, I don't want to forgive them, but I know I need to forgive them. There's a saying, and I can't even remember how it came about, but I remember reading it. It says, staying angry or being angry with somebody or unforgiving towards somebody is like drinking poison, trying to hurt that other person. Because when it gets down to it, when you stay angry and unforgiving towards that person, who are you hurting? Yourself. And I think God knew that. That's why God said that you need to forgive others. Because it's really a matter that it helps you in your forgiveness. It says, and be kind to one another in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The doxology at the end, like I say, in this manuscript, actually comes from 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. I love that verse. I absolutely love that verse. God exalted over all. For all that is in heaven and earth is yours, including us. Think about this when you stop and pray. Think about who you're praying to. Exalt him above all. Pray for his will. Pray for his kingdom. Pray for his kingdom to come. The Pharisees, they didn't get this. The Pharisees decided that they wanted mankind's rewards rather than God's. We'll wrap up with these last two verses. For you, forgive the other their trespasses. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I was reading, I was like, and again, when you go to 1 John and that relationship, in fact, Mark says that if you go to pray at the temple and if you have aught or if you have something against your brother, go make it right, then come back. God wants us to be able to forgive others. Why? Can you imagine? Think about the multitude of sins that, when I think about the multitude of sins that I was forgiven by God through Jesus Christ. He took on all my sins on the cross. Past sins, sins of today, sins of the future. He took those sins on, and how much did he forgive me? But yet I won't forgive my brother. That's wrong. That's wrong. And it's not the Christian way of life. We need to forgive one another. And I'm telling you, sometimes for me, I'll speak for myself, it's very hard sometimes. But you have to forgive. And again, because it is what God wants us to do, you can always go to him for help. And he's helped me I don't know how many times. It's just that he changes your heart, changes your outlook, changes what I thought was so important, what was so hurtful, to something that I could accept and I could forgive. I got last two slides. Are you willing to trade the gifts, God's gifts, for man's gifts? And again, this is just the thoughts that I had. What can man offer that would be better than God's gift? Is the praise of man better? Mankind does the same thing regarding salvation. And I talked about that a little earlier on. Trading the life that we have here on earth and what man can offer compared to what Christ can offer. And not just eternal life, but the life that he can offer while we're here on earth, that I can go to him. These are just thoughts that I had. I asked Heidi, I said, And this is my wife. She loves the Lord. I love her so much. She goes, I said, hey, I said, how has the Lord provided for you? And she, or has given you, or has rewarded you. And she went straight into, I was hoping for some more answers like shelter, food. My wife goes right to the spiritual side. That's why I was like, you are awesome. Salvation, wisdom, love, peace. She started naming some of these off, and I'm like, hold on, that's really good. Because I was looking at, you know, my daily, give us this day our daily bread. So I was thinking about physical provisions. What has he rewarded us with? Salvation, wisdom, love, peace, patience, truth, righteousness. This is an exhaust, and this is, by the way, when you go to prayer, you can thank God. And by the way, what's it say if you lack wisdom? Right? Ask. He'll grant it. He'll give it. He can give all these things. I was looking on the physical side. God's written word, clothing, shelter, food, family, friends, church, worship openly without persecution. That's who we serve. We serve an awesome God that wants to hear from us all the time. He wants to hear from you in the morning. He wants to hear what's 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Like you have a bad cold and a sneeze, and you're sneezing all the time. Pray to the Lord. Next time you sneeze, think, you know what, I need to pray. No, I'm just. But whenever you think about it, and you don't, you know, that's a model prayer, but there's other prayers, again, in the Bible. Just take the time. Take the time. You'll grow closer. Reading God's word, you'll have more of an appetite for God's word the more you pray. And by the way, the more you read, the more appetite you'll have to talk to him. It works hand in hand because he's given us his written word. And that's how he talks to us, speaks to us. All right, I ask you to stand. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, Creator, all-powerful God that loves us, that has chosen us, that keeps us. Lord God, we thank you so much for being our God and for taking the time, Lord, to care for us, taking the time to know what each individual needs, Lord. Lord, you are like no other, and yet you love us. You love us so much that you sent your Son to die on a cross for us, to take the penalty of death that we deserve. And Lord, not just shown mercy, but Lord, you give us grace. Lord, you have prepared a place for us. You walk with us. You've given us your Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Lord God, we thank you so much, so, so much. Lord, I pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, Lord, that are being persecuted, that are being killed, that are being slaughtered, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength, give them protection, give them boldness, Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you, give you all the honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.